Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the midnight drive of free speech because you're driving and you don't want to fall asleep, so you turn on the radio and then you hear these voices. These voices are telling you things that you thought you'd never hear and enlightening you to things that you thought you'd never be enlightened to. So that's why you need to go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. If you don't like doing things through the tubes, you can always send in a boomer check through the snail mail. How would that be done, Jeremy?
You can mail that check or money order payable to RBN. Mail that to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. And download the CoSertified app from nationalbugle.com. It's, there are a lot of holidays that include feasts, for instance, and you might want to make sure that your feast is kosher or not. And no better way than to use the CoSertified app, which will educate you on all things kosher and not. Okay, Jeremy, so this is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show. And on the part one, we were talking about Vladimir Putin. We were talking about Kegs Kavanaugh, a bunch of good stuff. People might want to go refer to that. What are we going to talk about on part two?
Well, we need to report, I think, as many people may be aware, maybe they're not, Coach Red Pill is alive, and he was detained, according to his streaming online testimony. So this was something we were discussing last week, you know, and you were hopeful that he had not been killed. Mm-hmm. I did include a Stormer article on this, dailystormer.cn. Coach Red Pill lives. He appears on a live stream. Says that he was picked up and detained for a week. Also known as Gonzalo Lira, he appeared on a four-minute live stream early Friday morning, Friday before this past weekend. He appeared with the Duran. Now, I've heard of the Duran. It's a Pakistani radio show, I believe.
Pakistani? And,
yeah. One of our listeners is from Pakistan, and he has requested that we ask Cato to appear on the Duran. So I emailed the Duran to get information on this, and I haven't heard back.
Okay, my understanding is that Duran is some sort of cooperative between Alexander Myocarditis, or whatever his last name is, and Alex Rustafaro, or whatever his last name is, and somebody else. Because they call themselves the Duran. But I suppose you could have two Durans. And if you have two Durans, would that be Duran Duran?
Only if you would include Hunger Like the Wolf in your radio show. Apparently there's a show called The Duran, and I'm learning this myself, but this was according to an emailer that emailed the Patrick and Jeremy show asking that Cato appear on The Duran. But before I set that up, I wanted to hear from the person that does The Duran. Our emailer goes by Doug. And Doug had emailed me about the Duran, and I said, well, I don't know who that is. And so I've requested more information. But at any rate, I thought it very interesting that Andrew is reporting that, you know, Coach Red Pill has appeared on the Duran. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. And I don't Alexander... It's not Markopoulos. He's got a Greek last name. And I guess he grew up in Greece, but lives in Britain or something like that. He speaks with a British accent. And then this Alex Rustafaro or whatever his name is. He's an American, and I think there's somebody else who's involved in it. And the Alexander Myocarditis he does a good job covering the Ukraine situation. And so it's only natural that they would talk to Coach Red Pill, because Coach Red Pill his video on Victoria Nuland is highly recommended. I got to get that up on National Bugle. So it's all good stuff. I've talked to Cato too. So maybe we'll be able to hook them up if they want somebody who can talk intelligently about China.
I'm still waiting to hear back from.
If you're going to listen to any of these people, don't listen on YouTube, because they will put in a commercial. They'll put in a commercial every 6 minutes, and it really sucks. You can listen to them on Rumble. So go to Rumble. Listen on Rumble. It's much better.
I am waiting to hear back from the Duran on information on their show. Hopefully they'll be familiar with Duran Duran, and we can talk about some 80s hits. But if we can, we'll get Cato on that show. I just want to make sure they're legit. But apparently there's some legitimacy, because just maybe a couple of weeks after I got that email, here we have Gonzalo Lira appearing on the Duran.
Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of the 80s, these guys on the Duran, not only are they legit, but they're too legit to quit.
That's 90s, but I'll give you points on that one.
Okay. Points.
MC Hammer, 90s, but that's close enough to the 80s.
Close enough.
Well, anyway, it's good to hear that Coach Red Pill is alive and he was detained. I guess there was some discussion as to whether he staged this. I don't want to go there. It's worth mentioning because Andrew's article mentions it. If he was legit reporting in the Ukraine, that's dangerous enough, and I'm willing to believe him that he was detained and got free. And then announced himself alive on the Duran. It would have been so cool if they called it Duran Duran. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it would be. No, it's,
but anyway,
it's not like that. I have been watching it. Mark Mercolis, that's his name, Alexander Mercolis. These Greek names can be kind of rough sometimes if you don't actually understand the Greek. I'm not trying to make fun of him. But sometimes, when he's talking about stuff, I think I'm getting myocarditis because some of the stuff that's going on there is so scary.
Right. But yeah, so I guess Coach Red Pill alive and well. And hopefully he'll keep reporting the real news from the region. That will be the litmus test as to his legitimacy if he keeps reporting the real news. So, speaking of reporting the real news and freedom of speech and all of that jazz, I listened to Ryan Dawson on the Natty Intel yesterday, and he was making the case that if Twitter does become a legit frontier of free speech again, that these people in charge, these elites, cannot maintain their power, because once people start speaking freely online, it's all over. Once the narrative is allowed to be questioned and true freedom of speech is allowed, it's all over. And that's why I'm finding it hard to believe that Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter, I'm just finding it hard to believe that that's a white pill. I don't know. I'm not a big Musk guy. I'm going to just say that. I'm very critical of Musk. I seriously doubt that his intentions are pure, probably just to make some money, but what he's done has generated a tremendous amount of controversy. Have you seen the reacts from the left?
Yeah, they're freaking out.
They are, and it does make me feel better. It makes me think, okay, well, here's one oligarch that is sort of a wild card, maybe similar to Trump, where maybe he's not our guy, but he's not their guy. And because he's not their guy, they're freaking out. And that makes me, anything that makes them freak out, I like it. Mm-hmm. So you know, I am sort of rethinking this whole Musk thing, but I'm not very hopeful. We will see. I heard David Duke say on his show yesterday, you and he did an excellent show, by the way, on democracy. Duke mentioned
today.
Sorry?
Oh, yeah. I guess it would be yesterday as people are hearing this. Yeah, we put a little bit of thought into that.
No, it was very good. One of your best shows on the Rinse Network. But David was talking about that he reestablished a Twitter account. Do you remember what it was? It was something 22. Duke 22.
It was Real David Duke 22. Earlier in the show, he announced like the wrong Twitter handle because it's new to him. He lost his old one. So he's got, I guess he set up a couple of accounts, but the main one he was trying to get across was Real David Duke 22.
And I read that England from the Daily Stormer is waiting to set up an account. He's sort of letting the dust settle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be the litmus test.
Yeah.
If they allow England and David Duke.
That is.
On Twitter.
Yeah, that is the litmus test. It is absolutely the litmus test. I mean, letting President Trump back on Twitter is one thing, but, you know, he's the former president of the United States. He's going to get let back on. That's going to happen. But for Andrew Anglin and David Duke to be let back on, that's the litmus test.
You know,
regarding Musk, once he actually takes control of Twitter, I think it would be fair to call him an oligarch. Now he's the richest person in the world now. I wouldn't call him an oligarch because the companies he owns don't have that kind of political power, right? So, Tesla, which is kind of a meme company and is super overvalued, but good for that's fine. It's overvalued. And then he owns SpaceX. These aren't companies that exert any kind of real sway over the American people the way Google or Facebook or, you know, even Microsoft, Apple, the way they do.
Well, Musk has had a lot of sway on the stock market. You got to say that. That's why I do refer to him as an oligarch. I mean,
fair enough. Here's something else. So Andrew Anglin was really super critical of Musk over crashing Bitcoin. Okay.
And his gay Doge.
Well, you see, that's the thing. And now he's saying, okay, bygones are bygones with Elon Musk, and he wants to see how the Twitter thing's working out. Fine. Okay, bygones are bygones with Elon Musk. I do have to call out Andrew Anglin. I am calling on him to apologize to Elon Musk's dog, because that dog's not gay. But that was completely uncalled for. And Andrew, I know you're a man, and you will own up to your mistakes, and you owe that dog an apology.
There is some, I mean, you know, Andrew, I think, accepts Bitcoin and Monero.
Monero, I don't think he even accepts Bitcoin, but I think he has some Bitcoin left over.
It's Bitcoin, but mostly
accepted if somebody gave it to him. But the only one that he's actively seeking on his website seems to be Monero.
Well, from his point of view, I mean, Musk does like a few tweets and just totally, completely, you know, wrecks Bitcoin. That's why I would call him an oligarch. I mean, he's a mover and shaker. How can the wealthiest man, supposedly, on the globe, you know, not be, even if inadvertently, shaping, you know, our financial reality? That's what it seems like.
I'd leave the dog out of it.
You should leave the dog out of it. Most dogs are straight. But no, he's talking about Dogecoin, of course. And, I mean, he did manipulate Dogecoin. I mean, it shot up after that tweet. And it probably did wreck a lot of normie, you know, working class people's fun. That's been a thing for the last couple of years. Normies have gotten into the stock market through Robinhood and TD Ameritrade. And, you know, people with maybe just $1,000 or so to trade have gotten in on this. And so a person that's making 30 grand a year, I mean, if they lose 3,000 on the stock market, that's major.
That is
major to them. So I can see I can see where he's upset. But anyway, I didn't want to get into that so much as I wanted to get into the fact that Musty did – it's a legit purchase. I mean, this is real. It's happening. Alex Jones is back on Twitter. And will this last? I guess, you know, would you agree with my statement that maybe Musk is a wild card, sort of like Trump was, and they don't really know what to do with him?
Yes, absolutely. And I also agree with Ryan Dawson. I think that the power, you know, the powers that be, which is primarily a Jewish power structure, that they are absolutely dependent on people not noticing and people not talking. And on Twitter, people say all sorts of things. Twitter is like, and I don't know much about Twitter because I've never had an account. But you know, a lot goes on Twitter. A lot of memes through Twitter. Ideas can go really fast. And the Jewish power structure, their basis is very precarious. I don't think, like, honestly, 5-6 years ago, I don't think they were planning a whole bunch of hoaxes. I think they were cruising. They were just cruising. They had gotten their gay marriage. They were getting, you know, migrants, these migrant formations marching into Europe. Everything was just going. Going like clockwork. There wasn't a need for a big hurry. But then you had, you know, Brexit and Donald Trump. And I think some people, enough of the Jewish oligarchs or Jewish ruling class, got freaked out, and they just started. They just went into this double or nothing mode, and
exposed them.
I wind up with nothing.
It exposed their power in doing so, and I guess they thought it was worth it. But my read on Trump has always been, you know, I think Trump is and was an oligarch, maybe a lower status, and probably not somebody that was totally in the fold, and they allowed him to get reach financial status, and then he started doing his own thing with the support of some with a sliver of right-wing Jews, and it scared them. It really scared them. Think about, you know, what Trump did, even if it's inadvertently. He got people to question the media itself. And the wars in the Middle East, that's major, very major. And I don't think that's something that they wanted. So similarly, I don't think that Elon Musk has gotten to where he is financially without Jewish power. I just don't.
Well, and, I mean, yeah.
Well, I guess what I was going to say is now that he's reached this power, he's kind of become out of control. And he may not be our guy, but like I said, he's not their guy. And they're gonna, I predict they're gonna try to reel him in somehow, just like they reeled in Trump.
Well, so Tesla shares about 4 years ago or so, they were selling at like 200, 250. You can pull up a chart, and then they just shot up. It went up by like 400 or 500% in a fairly brief period of time, like over the course of a couple of years, and there's no reason for it. They were already overvalued by most measures before they shot up. But anyway, we're at the break. We'll be right back.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. We're back. So I was just saying before the break, Tesla shares were already seen as being overvalued 4 years ago, in that if you looked at Tesla's price earnings ratio or any of these other measures of stock price, I mean, Tesla, it's been several years since it surpassed GM and Toyota as the car company with the biggest market capitalization. And, you know, and that was at a time where you almost never saw Tesla on the road. So it was almost all based on like future expectations. So it's been kind of a meme stock. But this for Elon Musk, using some of this paper wealth that he has due to the overpricing of Tesla shares in order to get Twitter, which I think is a much more tangible asset, or at least it's much more it's not overvalued. It's a really good move for him. And I'll keep my fingers crossed that he's going to turn out to be an okay guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, I look for them to reel him in, and they could do it in so many ways. Just think about the power of the global media and how they've, you know, I think, you correct me if I'm wrong, maybe the most powerful man in the world right now is Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Because he controls a whole country and a very powerful military, maybe second to him would only be Xi Jinping.
Yeah. One of the.
And, yeah. Yeah. And as powerful as Putin is, I mean, look at how the media onslaught against him, you know, has been in this Ukrainian conflict. What could they do to Musk, who does not control an army?
Mm-hmm.
Who does not control a nuclear powered army? They could reel him in and bring him to heel really quick. And I think that's what they're going to do.
Well, Tesla shares could be crashed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you know, I don't know how much the Rothschilds are still players, but I mean, that's the only name that comes to mind when you think of ultimate power. They don't just have money, they are money. I mean, they control money and have for centuries. And, you know, they could crash that stuff real fast. They could deplete his net worth really quick.
Yeah, the acquisition of Twitter does diversify him somewhat. So for him, financially, I think it was a really good move.
Yeah, he's playing their own game and he's winning. And I don't think they like that. So if you want to segue, is it Segue or Segue? I've been correcting.
Segue. Segue was popularized by, I guess, jazz hands or someone. Someone
over. Isn't it a music? I think it's a music term. Segue.
Saying segue in a silly way.
From April 25th, CNN, Twitter vows to ban ads against climate change. Actually, CNN vowed that. This was a Stormer article, and he quotes The Guardian. Twitter chose Earth Day to announce that it will ban advertisements that deny the scientific consensus on climate crisis.
What day was Earth Day?
I don't know.
This is before Elon Musk gained control.
Yes. And so this is in play now. And what I'm asking, another litmus test, will Musk, who himself is in on the whole climate change thing, right? He's a climate guy. Will he allow open speech on how to handle climate change? Not even, you know, sure, you can debate the issue. Is the climate changing because of man-made, because of the Industrial Revolution? And is it man-made or not? But how do you handle it is a real argument. And the elites have chosen to handle it by, you know, the very wrong way, and by harming the populace. Will that debate be allowed to be had on Twitter on how to handle climate change? Well, and right now they're just banning any discussion of it.
The funny thing is that Musk makes electric cars, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's all these other people like Bill Gates or all these other people who are always going around shouting about climate change. Yeah. How high is it on Musk has a big Twitter presence. He's got a big media presence. How much is he talking about climate change? Because I haven't noticed him to do so. Maybe I'm wrong.
I've read several articles that he is big on climate change, and any oligarch is going to be.
Obviously, he's got more of a direct financial interest in it, but I see other people talking about it a lot more.
To mine the, you know, what makes up his batteries? I mean, that's tremendous amounts of diesel.
That meme out there, if you actually really examined it, that was really, really faulty.
So mining the materials to make these batteries is not...
There was a meme out there, and we're coming up on the break, but we'll get to that on the other side. I'll see if I can find it.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We're back. All right. So we were talking about a meme that we saw on the Daily Stormer. He puts up a lot of memes, and it shows a picture of a giant machine. It would be some sort of earth, you know, some sort of mining machine, earth moving machine. And it says, this is a Cat 994H. It burns 1,800 gallons of fuel in a 12-hour shift. This machine is required to move 500,000 pounds of earth in order to get the minerals needed for one single Tesla car battery. In whose world does this type of math and Green New Deal make sense? Okay, so for math, well, so what would you do? You would want to set up an equation. And so the equation, well, how would it make sense? How would it make sense to have, like, how much fossil fuel consumption is tolerable in order to make a single Tesla battery? And if you're going to do that, well, I mean, there's a lot of things you have to know that aren't here. One is how many recharge, like how many miles is that battery going to push? You know, how many times can it be recharged? And so, for instance, to go 1,000 miles on batteries and 1,000 miles on gasoline, what is the difference in your total energy consumption, for instance? And in order to go 1,000 miles on electricity, some plant somewhere is, and let's just say it was a gas burning or coal burning plant, it's producing the electricity. Well, how much of that fuel is being used at the power plant in order to make the electricity? You need this information. And of course, and how many times can it be recharged? That type of information. But here, this is also something like you look at this and you know, with that picture, it looks like a real wow type of thing. But when you get down to it, these are all very unrelated sentences. It burns 1,800 gallons of fuel in a 12-hour shift. Okay, well, in that 12-hour shift, how many Tesla battery, how much, you know, lithium for Tesla's batteries is being mined? It's not saying. How much is it producing in a 12-hour shift? It's not saying. There's no connection there. And then it says this machine is required to move 500 pounds of earth in order to get the minerals needed for one single Tesla car battery. Well, that sounds like something, but here again, move how far, right? Because move 1 foot, 1 meter, 1 kilometer. If you're gonna do math, you need those units. You need to know if you're gonna be figuring out work and fuel consumption and things like that. It makes a big difference moving something a short distance as moving something a long distance. And just to say move 500,000 pounds of earth doesn't give you the information. So you can't do the math from these two little unrelated factoids that they've given you. And even these two unrelated factoids leaves out a whole lot. So is that long-winded? Sorry, but that's the point. So what do you think?
I guess just in the spirit of the point of the meme, I guess these huge machines are moving earth, 500,000 pounds of earth, according to the meme, to get the minerals for one single battery. He's talking about the construction of one battery. These are huge machines, and I'm familiar with earth moving machines. I've worked in them in my childhood. Requires a lot of fuel, lot of grease, a lot of maintenance. The grease has to be produced to lubricate this thing. How do you produce grease? There's more environmental factors. And then what I'm really wondering about is the charging of the batteries. How much fossil fuel is burnt in charging the batteries? I think the point of the meme stands. I mean, you push back, please.
Okay.
The point of the meme stands is that it's probably at least equaling out. I don't think you're saving that much with these electric cars at this point. I don't think that they're utilizing the technology correctly. There's probably a way to save the environment, but they're not utilizing it.
The cost of the electricity, okay, in terms of dollars, we're not talking about carbon dioxide at this point, but in terms of dollars, for a consumer just to, you know, drive 300 miles or whatever on a electric battery, 300 miles on gasoline, regardless, I mean, even when the price of gasoline is $2.50, it's much, much cheaper on the battery. Now, those cars, there's a big initial cost right now, for sure. But the electric motors are more efficient than the internal combustion engine. The internal combustion engine, it's manufacturing a lot of heat that is lost. The internal combustion engine really isn't that efficient. It's more efficient than the external combustion engine, you know, like the steam engine, but it's not that efficient. But, you know, for instance, the ethanol, if you do the math for ethanol, you really do come up with no, like, if your bottom line is carbon dioxide introduced into the atmosphere or whatever, you're not getting anything significant, at least. If you're getting any savings at all, it's not significant. It's not worth it. So a lot of these proposals are not good proposals, or counterproductive. And you know, the ethanol, the way, at least producing ethanol with corn grown on fields that are fertilized with, you know, nitrogen fertilizer, you're not getting any kind of carbon savings out of that. So it is proper to be skeptical about all of this. It certainly is. But one of the things is the electric car batteries, the lithium in them. Once you've got the lithium up here, like, I'm not an expert at lithium batteries, but the lithium is recyclable. You know, even after the life of the car, now you've got the lithium, it's out of the ground. It's in a battery, and it could be recycled into another battery. So I think the electric cars, in terms of fuel and energy, they're going to do really well. Right now, aside from the initial high price of the cars, because they're higher priced, a lot higher priced right now, that could come down. But the other big deal is that it takes a lot longer to recharge an electric battery than it does to fill up a tank of gas. And, you know, if you're just driving around town, you can just recharge it at night, just like you recharge your cell phone. But if you're talking about, you know, long trips where you got to fill up a few times, that's a big hurdle right now.
Well, you also have water powered engines. I mean, you know, there's something there.
Hydrogen fuel cells, I think, yeah, is what you're really referring to. Yeah.
Hydrogen fuels. Here's my point. I think that because of infrastructure currently in place, and because of dirty deals and politicians, you know, in dirty deals with certain aspects of energy, they're not giving us the most efficient way to travel on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's where I'm coming from. I think that, you know, they could give us a better way to travel, more efficient, less destructive to the environment, and they're not doing that because of dirty deals that they're already engaged in, and they're not willing to give up in. Mm-hmm. You know, one politician has deals with oil, and one politician has deals with lithium batteries, and they're not willing to come together. They're just wanting to get their money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with it. And no, that's
right. And that's our political system. And yeah, you know, it's one of the problems with our political system.
So they're just interested in their money and not really in bettering humanity and the environment. And that's why I call it a climate hoax. I don't literally think that it's a hoax. Yes, I think that human involvement has changed the climate. Now, as a Christian, you know, God could reverse that anytime he wants. He could change that. A solar flare, a volcanic eruption, any of that could drastically alter the climate. But just speaking outside of that and compartmentalizing here, politicians are not willing to come together and come on the same page to do what's better for humanity. They're wanting to do what's better for their bank accounts and their deals that they've already struck.
That is absolutely correct. That is.
So the question then comes back to, will Elon Musk allow this type of debate on Twitter? Another litmus test. Will he allow David Duke, Andrew Anglin, and will he allow debate climate change and how to fix it, like, legit, all the memes aside? So
my guess is that the real litmus test is going to be David Duke and Andrew Anglin.
Yeah,
I think I doubt he would. Well, I mean, I guess the policy that was announced is they're not going to sell advertising to these companies, or to advertisers who are questioning, you know, climate or whatever, climate revisionists, whatever you want to call them. I just have the feeling that that's not going to be his bridge to die on. If he's going to come up short on free speech, it's going to be Jewish power. I think for him to allow free speech and free advertisement, not free advertisement, but, you know, no restrictions on advertisers, I don't think for him, like, the climate would be the hill to die on. I think if he comes up short somewhere, it's going to be Jewish power.
Well, that gets us into the political arena. Interestingly enough, you know, I made this move just before the 2022 midterms. Isn't it interesting? Because free speech on social media really affects political outcomes. And so we got the 2022 midterms coming up. Will there be real political debate? Will that be allowed? You know, that definitely turned the tide for Trump in 2016. The meme wars, social media, I mean, that really got Trump into office. Well, I mean, what do you think of that as a political scientist? Political debate online, on social media, to elections.
So when David and I were talking in that show you reference, our Tuesday show about democracy, towards the very, very end, I think I said something about, you know, we've got two kinds of advertising. You've got the free advertising and you've got the paid advertising. The paid advertising, they need the fundraisers for that. The free advertising, they need the media companies. But what was notable about 2016 is, you know, in terms of the donors, they were overwhelmingly for Hillary. And in terms of the media companies, the traditional media companies, even though during the primaries, Trump was able to take good advantage of them because they were happy. He was an interesting guest for them. And so the program managers were happy to book him and have calls from him. In the general election, he got really negative coverage. And yet he won. And a big hunk of that was what you're talking about. It was the free media from regular people on social media. So it was viral memes. It was stuff like that. And that, it turned out to be critical, make the difference for him, I would say.
And so coming up, I mean, so we've got the whole January 6th thing, and the media has just memed it into existence that anybody that protested the election hoax on January 6th and that went to the Capitol, I mean, they're all terrorists, they're anti-American. That's a meme. But what if that were allowed to be openly discussed? And it wasn't. Anybody that openly discussed it was banned, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook. What if you could openly discuss that? What if you could openly discuss the political prisoners? You know, how would that affect the upcoming midterms? Right.
Well, so it's not just the people who went into the Capitol were terrorists, but literally you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene, who wasn't encouraging people to go into the Capitol, but just, you know, saying that she thought that there was something wrong with the election. She had only been a congressman for three days as of January 6th, maybe encouraging people to go to Trump's last rally that, you know, he had on that day. Just because of that, they're saying that she's an insurrectionist, and by, you know, virtue of this Civil War era law about that banned Confederates from public office, that she shouldn't be allowed to run, and that's in the courts right now. It's serious enough that she went and testified on her own behalf. So yeah, they pushed that really far.
And their goal is to get anybody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, I mean, out of office, to get them out of, you know, even though she may not be our gal. She's not their gal. and they don't want her in there because she represents a portion of the populace that they don't want to have a voice. And so, you know, it's very major. I mean, you know, what Musk does and what he allows on Twitter, if he has that power, it's very major in the upcoming midterms and the 2024 election.
I want to refer to an article if you're ready for you.
I need to take the break and then we'll get to that article.
Thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
I'm Peter Serfi with today's Liberty Minute. Find more at liberty-lighthouse.com. As soon as the news that Twitter is being sold to Elon Musk came out, several human rights groups raised concerns about hate speech. Elon Musk considers himself a free speech absolutist, while the Human Rights Watch statement said freedom of expression is not an absolute right. Amnesty International is worried about moderation, aka censorship, of hate speech. All of these groups expressing these concerns have forgotten that free speech is the foundational bedrock of all freedom. Hate speech, misinformation, disinformation, and blatant lies are all protected free speech. Personally, I hope the new community guidelines say something to the effect of, "Speak your mind, just don't break the law." You should be able to say anything that you want. But remember, you just might look stupid when you do. Until tomorrow, see this Pacem Parabellum.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, we're back. And what was that next article we're getting to?
Well, as we predicted, systems going after Trump for any and all of his business dealings before and while he was in office, in New York specifically. And this probably sheds a little bit of light too on the leverage that they had against him. And he knew they were going to do this. Probably would explain why he didn't do everything that he said he was going to do and some of his moves. CNN.com, CNN Politics. A judge holds former President Trump in civil contempt for failing to comply with document subpoenas from New York Attorney General. A New York judge is holding Donald Trump in civil contempt after the state's attorney's general office said he did not comply with a subpoena for documents as part of its investigation into the former president's company. Judge Arthur Engoron, Engoron, said that Trump failed to abide by his order to comply with the subpoena and that his attorneys failed to show how a search of materials held by Trump was conducted. He said that Trump would be fined $10,000 a day until he complies. They're going after Trump for shady business dealings, they would say, I guess, and maybe they were shady, probably were, of things he did even before he was in office. Mm-hmm. And this is what we sort of talked about is, you know, why did Trump come on strong with campaign Trump and then he's going to do all these things that satisfies the populace? But then once he comes into office, he capitulates. He hires people. An anti-war candidate, Trump, hires John Bolton. That's not mm-hmm. – how does that work? Mm-hmm. I think he knew they had leverage on him, and that's what they were using against him. And now they're going after all of these things. You know, in an open social media like Twitter, I mean, you could debate these things, and you could point these things out. I don't know. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah. Well, one thing is, for Donald Trump, for a billionaire, $10,000 a day is no big deal. $10,000 a day comes out to, you know, $3.65 million in a year.
I would spend that on hookers.
If you got billions of dollars.
I wouldn't, but somebody would spend that on hookers.
Trump would. Probably
not. Not with Stormy Daniels. I mean, she was pretty rank, my guy.
She was rank. Yeah, I know.
But no, I mean, yeah, so doesn't this tell us, like, they had all this leverage on him? Like, he knew they were going to do this. He knew they were going to go after him.
Yeah, so, I mean, it could be a lot worse for him. You know, $10,000 a day is no big deal. But, you know, if they were to publicize, get a hold of, well, if they were really to go through his taxes, there's always going to be something. There's all sorts of things. So these people, there is a vulnerability to them. And, you know, Putin ruined his biggest oligarchs, the biggest oligarchs in Russia. So these people, they have their vulnerabilities.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, Trump capitulated to the oligarchs. I mean, he's going to fight this. I mean, he's fighting it. But even if he gets into office in 2024, I mean, how potent will he be?
Oh, wow.
Even less. I think even less potent. If he even gets into office,
who knows? Who knows? I mean, he hasn't shown that he's learned much. He didn't ever figure out how to rule the first time. So who knows? Maybe he's learned something, but it doesn't really look like it. But we're at the end of our time.
Thanks, Patrick, for the show, man. Stay classy.
Thank you, Jeremy, for staying classy.
It's always.
And back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you